Chapter 26. About noon the next day, the boys arrived at the dead tree. They had come for their tools. Tom was impatient to go to the haunted house. Huck was measurably so also, but suddenly said,
"Looky here, Tom. Do you know what day it is?"
Tom mentally ran over the days of the week and then quickly lifted his eyes with a startled look in them.
"My, I never once thought of it, Huck." "Well, I didn't either, but all at once it popped onto me that it was Friday."
"Blame it. A body can't be too careful, Huck. We might have got into an awful scrape tackling such a thing on a Friday."
"Might. Better say we would. There's some lucky days, maybe, but Friday ain't."
"Any fool knows that. I don't reckon you was the first that found it out, Huck."
"Well, I never said I was, did I? And Friday ain't all, neither. I had a rotten bad dream last night. Dreamt about rats."
"No. Sure sign of trouble. Did they fight?"
"No."
"Well, that's good, Huck. When they don't fight, it's only a sign that there's trouble around, you know. All we got to do is to look mighty sharp and keep out of it. We'll drop this thing for today and play. Do you know Robin Hood, Huck?"
"No. Who's Robin Hood?"
"Why, he was one of the greatest men that was ever in England, and the best. He was a robber."
"Cracky. I wished I was. Who did he rob?"
"Well, only sheriffs and bishops and rich people and kings and such like. But he never bothered the poor. He loved them. He always divided up with them perfectly square."
"Well, he must have been a brick."
"I'll bet you he was, Huck. Oh, he was the noblest man that ever was. They ain't any such men now, I can tell you. He could lick any man in England with one hand tied behind him, and he could take his U-bow and plug a 10-cent piece every time a mile and a half."
"What's a U-bow?"
"I don't know. It's some kind of bow, of course. And if he hit that dime only on the edge, he could set down and cry and curse. But we'll play Robin Hood. It's noble fun. I'll learn you."
"I'm agreed."
So they played Robin Hood all the afternoon, now and then casting a yearning eye down upon the haunted house and passing a remark about the morrow's prospects and possibilities there. As the sun began to sink into the west, they took their way homeward athwart the long shadows of the trees and soon were buried from sight in the forests of Cardiff Hill. On Saturday, shortly after noon, the boys were at the dead tree again. They had a smoke and a chat in the shade, and then dug a little in their last hole, not with great hope, but merely because Tom said there were so many cases where people had given up a treasure after getting down within 6 inches of it, and then somebody else had come along and turned it up with a single thrust of a shovel. The thing failed this time, however, so the boys shouldered their tools and went away, feeling that they had not trifled with fortune, but had fulfilled all the requirements that belonged to the business of treasure hunting.